This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Presented by Gerritsen Building Supply. Let's get an update from Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
So I know that things have been a little quieter in terms of fires, but how has it been going so far in recent days?
You know, so far, initial attack has been light, so that's a good thing. The couple fires we've had, we've been able to jump on quickly and get those taken care of. Still a lot of work going on Skyline Ridge and especially the Pool Creek fire. So about a week ago, the incident management team transitioned to that local Type 3 organization. And as of today, we're only down to about 65 people working on that fire. So, you know, a lot of the work mopping up along those patrol lines has been completed. The majority of the fire line suppression repair projects have been completed. So really it's backhauling the last of that equipment, the pumps and the hose and the porta tanks and all that kind of stuff, get that back into the office so it can be cataloged and sent back to the fire cache for the next incident. And patrolling those fire lines into the near future is going to be the other big task, just to make sure that nothing changes. So the areas that didn't fully burn, the needle cast off the trees, about this time of the incident, that stuff starts dropping. So if that drops on smoldering stuff, it could start burning. So we want to make sure that nothing crosses those fire lines because of that.
Obviously, a lot to keep track of there. I was just thinking about the logistical aspects of all this gear, which I imagine comes from different agencies in a lot of cases, and much to keep track of there.
Yeah, just on the hose alone, you have miles upon miles upon miles of hose. You know, it's the hardest right off the bat where you have our hose and then hose from our industrial landowners and the rural fire departments. And getting that sorted out. After the incident management team gets here, a lot of those resources come from a regional fire cache out of Redding. So really just sorting out what doesn't go back to them and just making sure it's all palletized and returned.
Now, as we look ahead, we've had sort of this moderate period of time, but going towards the weekend, we are ramping back up to be 90 or above. Is there a concern there?
You know, the biggest concern this weekend is the opening of archery season and, you know, the potential influx of people out in the woods. So with that, you know, we're reminding people if they are going hunting to remember that fire season is definitely still in effect. We're still in high fire danger and there's still a number of fire restrictions in place that range from vehicle use to campfires and a number of other things. Which could impact what they want to do. But even beyond that, there's a number of private industrial landowners who've closed public access to their lands due to fire season. And depending on where you are throughout the state, there's a number of closures in place around the large fires. So please check with the landowner or the land manager for the area you plan to either recreate on or go hunting on ahead of time to make sure that you know, there's no extra restrictions or closures in place for that area.
And obviously, as people are doing some of those hunting recreation type activities, it's often kind of a checkerboard pattern of maybe you're on state or federal land, and then you realize you're on private land. And sometimes, I mean, by then, you're not in a place where you have cell service, most likely. So checking ahead seems like an important thing.
Exactly, especially through much of Western Oregon, we have the checkerboard ownership of primarily private and BLM lands. But even when you get in towards the outside edges of the Forest Service around here, you know, we have a fair amount of checkerboard ownership there in the upper Cow Creek and Tiller areas on the Umpqua National Forest. So, again, it's just a great idea to, you know who those landowners or land managers are for the areas you're planning to recreate on ahead of time and checking with them just to make sure there's no additional closures or restrictions in place.
You mentioned all the cleanup work going on in a couple of the areas in particular. Is that enough to keep all your crews busy right now?
So the majority of people still working on Pool Creek, we have a handful of DFPA personnel on it, but a lot of those are outside resources still. So with the fire camp being gone, we've shifted those resources who are not local to the Devil's Knob Fire Camp. So they're still being supported there. But the majority of DFPA personnel, engines, and all that are still local and available for initial attack type fires and making those prevention touches and doing our normal day-to-day activities.
As you look at the extended forecast going into September, what are you seeing there in terms of temperatures and precipitation levels?
You know, we still haven't seen much of a change there in that. You know, they're still calling overall for above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. You know, that's kind of the trend we've seen for quite a few summers here in a row. But at least for the foreseeable future, you know, other than maybe the weekend where it warms up a little bit, we're seeing pretty moderate conditions, you know, low to mid 80s most days. You know, we're getting a fairly good marine push every now and again, which is a huge benefit for us when we get those overnight. You know, they tend to linger into the afternoon and, you know, keep the temperatures down and the humidities up. So that's definitely a huge benefit for us when those come in as well.
And as we look towards fall, what types of things should people be doing to get their land ready as we sort of transition?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is, you know, as we start seeing those days get shorter and, you know, the temperatures start cooling and, you know, it's always tempting to get out there and do stuff around the home, which is great. But the biggest issue we see every year is the illegal burns. So that would be the biggest concern I have going into the fall is making sure that, you know, people understand that, you know, until fire season is over, we're probably not issuing any kind of burn permits. So don't jump the gun. You know, I really encourage people to, you know, this time of year, if they have a pile, to cover it with a piece of plastic or a tarp and then wait well into the winter months when there's no concern of fire spread. You know, wait till December, January when we're not going to have any potential threat of a fire, even if it's right after fire season's over. So that's probably the biggest thing going into the fall I can encourage people to do is just to, you know, understand that, you know, we're still in fire restrictions. There's no debris burning at this time, but you can definitely prepare for that later on into the year.
And fire season's ending always changes based on the conditions, but kind of give us a gaze into the normal time or the time range when we do get out of fire season.
Yeah, so when you look back, you know, for us, mid-October is pretty normal for us. Historically, we've seen it, you know, end of September through the end of November, just depending on conditions. And like you said, it's really based on the fuels and weather conditions. So if we have a really dry fall, it may be longer in the fire season, or into the fall until fire season ends. But if we get those early, really wetting rains this fall, it may be earlier than normal. So again, it's really dependent on the weather conditions and what the fuels do based on how much rain and precipitation we get.
Kyle Reed, Forest Prevention Officer, rather Fire Prevention Officer for the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Kyle, thanks for being on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
8:40 Morning Conversation, a presentation of Garrettson Building Supply.